I'm very happy this morning to be able to be with you. And we have sung today that love lifted us. Do you know Satan always wants to put you down? But the Lord is always there to lift you up. And I wanted to know a few things before we begin. Do you know that it is impossible to sneeze with your eyes open? Very good. You knew that. Good. Okay. So it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. And so there are many young people, older ones as well, many unbelievers who are trying to live a Christian life. And they are saying it is just too hard. It is so hard. I want to tell you that the Christian life to be lived by an unbeliever is not so hard. It is impossible. You cannot live the Christian life without Christ. So if you don't know the Lord and you're trying so hard to live the Christian life, you want to come to reality this morning and say, it's impossible to live the Christian life without knowing Christ. So it is good. But I want to first lay a foundation for you that in this audience today, there is no person too hard for the Lord to change. There is no problem too big for the Lord to solve. And there is no wound too deep for the Lord to heal. Our God is a God who is able. So your problems are not bigger than God, but God is bigger than your problems. And so as we look at this morning, we're going to be seeing, I was spending some time with the Lord, and Sister Becky's not here, but she had asked the question, what are the precursors that lead up to humility? And I've been looking in my own heart as not just to the symptoms, but what are the causes of failing marriages today? What are the causes of divided families today? What are the underlying causes of the many problems? And I believe that the Lord has revealed the answer today. We are going to see this morning that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, and I'll read it, Ephesians chapter 5 has been read so many times, but it's good to read the word. In Ephesians 5, and beginning at verse 18, Paul states these things. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's just pray. Father, we just commit this session to you. We ask that the Holy Spirit might apply your words to our hearts, that Christ would be magnified, our wounds would be healed, and needs would be met for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. what I discovered is this, that in Ephesians, Paul, before he writes anything concerning relationship between a husband and a wife, between children and parents, between workers and employees, he begins with verse 18. And he wants us this morning, I want to explain to you very much, because I believe this is the underlying cause for many of our problems today. So this is not just for married couples. This is for widows. It's for divorced people. It's for singles. It's for everyone. Now let me first explain what it is not. The filling of the Spirit is not the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is not left to us. The Bible says that He has baptized us into the body of Christ. So the moment we receive Jesus Christ, we were baptized into the body of Christ. The filling of the Spirit is not the sealing of the Spirit. From the moment you receive Jesus Christ, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not the indwelling of the Spirit. From the time you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and He dwells within us. But Paul is saying, so nowhere in the Bible God commands us to be baptized by the Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible He commands us to be indwelt by the Spirit. Nowhere does He command us to be sealed by the Spirit. But Paul comes and he says to be filled with the Spirit. So what does it mean? He gives the idea here. First, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled by the Spirit. And what he's saying, that one who is intoxicated is under the control of the substance. So the filling of the Spirit, number one, is not getting more saved than you were saved. From the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were saved, you are saved, and you will ever be saved. So the filling of the Spirit is not making you more saved than you were. Number two, the filling of the Spirit, it is allowing ourselves to be emptied of all that is unlike Christ. So Paul wrote that in Ephesians 4. And verse, just before he came to 5, Ephesians 4, let me just read it for you, or you can read it. Ephesians chapter 4, just before this, he says, I want you, Ephesians 4 and verse 30 to 32, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, this is what he wants us to be emptied of, to be filled. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. So the filling of the Spirit, it is not getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's not getting all of the Holy Spirit. You already have all of the Holy Spirit. But what it means is this, the Holy Spirit getting all of me. And it means a surrender of my life to Jesus Christ. And regardless of the pain, the wound, the resentment, the anger, I am willing to empty it out and give it to Jesus Christ. So regardless whether I was sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, the wounds might be there, but I decided by the grace of God that I'm going to be emptied of it by giving it to Jesus Christ, not forgetting, not like the world says, forget about it. No, you're going to still remember. God didn't say that He forget our sins. He said these words. He said, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Meaning that God has made a conscious choice never ever to bring up our sins again. So He cast our sins behind His back so He'll never look at them. He cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness that He'll never dig them up again. And so He made a conscious choice.